It is time for the Media Beat from David Tereshchuk, his weekly review of media coverage for Robinhood Radio and exclusive to Robinhood Radio. David is a multimedia and international journalist with his own online column at themediabeat.us. And as a special correspondent since 2012, he has contributed TV reports to the PBS network, mostly on ethical issues. Here's David.
This is David Tereshchuk with the Media Beat for the weekend beginning March 1st, 2024. Comedy and Gaza. Two words that probably don't sit together too well, but they did come together in this week's news. Israel's military onslaught against the Hamas movement in Gaza in response to last October's deadly incursion into southern Israel and the capturing of hostages was again the subject of many swirling media questions. One was about the IDF, Israel's armed forces. The D is for defense, and it's central to their name, however offensive they can appear in action. Would these forces launch their much-threatened attack on the ever more densely populated around Rafah in Gaza's far south? Could any evacuation process for the 1.4 million civilians in their makeshift shelters conceivably be put in place ahead of such an attack? How much heed will Prime Minister Netanyahu really pay, if any, to President Biden's insistence there should be such protection and a safe escape route for civilians? But perhaps the most immediate question of all was, would the negotiations in Paris succeed in achieving a ceasefire, one that might allow hostages to be released as well as some relief for Gazans? Those negotiations being mediated by the US, Egypt, and the Emirate of Qatar. Well, one answer, we can't yet know how complete it was exactly, came from the President of the United States, and Joe Biden delivered it in the unexpected venue of the comedian Seth Meyers' late-night talk show. He said he hoped that, quote, by next Monday, we'll have a ceasefire. His surprise talk show appearance was in contrast with his relatively few formal set-piece interviews with journalists. The Associated Press got sniffy about all this, saying Biden has, quote, largely avoided White House press conferences and on-the-record sit-downs with text reporters. Text reporters? Surely all reporters employ text in some way, don't they? And so do comedians, for that matter. I suspect the AP was thinking primarily about agency reporters like AP's own team, plus probably our country's better-known newspapers, once upon a time called our leading newspapers. The agency pointed out, too, that Biden had also avoided what it called the traditional pre-Super Bowl presidential interview. I don't know that the president answering questions as part of the pre-game razzmatazz is exactly a tradition. President Obama did make a thing of it, repeating it from 2009 onward, and doing it live, too, but then he was Obama, a complete natural-born broadcaster. Trump pointedly skipped it in 2018, and last month's big game was in fact the second time Biden skipped it. A year ago, Fox was doing the match coverage, and there's been little else but lasting enmity between the Biden White House and that network. Now, we know Biden generally disdains what he calls malarkey, possibly his favorite word of dismissal. But nonetheless, this week he wholeheartedly opted for the softball setting of the comedian's sofa. Well, to be accurate, it was another comedic actor, Amy Poehler, who sat on the sofa. Biden got the easy chair next to the host's desk. But he also went with his host on what Fox News called an ice cream outing to a New York ice cream store, and that was where his cautiously optimistic ceasefire prediction was voiced, to reporters who were tossing questions to him, standing by the counter, holding a slowly melting mint-flavored cone. I can't help reporting it was a sugar cone. But it was from the easy chair in the studio that Biden got to carry out the domestic political work of this TV appearance. He poked at his very likely opponent in November, trying to highlight Donald Trump's apparent memory lapses rather than his own, as well as, more substantially perhaps, calling his opponent's ideas antiquated and retrograde compared with his own forward-looking policies. But there's never a single front being fought in any presidential media opportunity, and you don't have to be a harshly cynical correspondent to have noticed that Biden's ceasefire talk came on the very eve of Michigan's presidential primary, and only a few days after the Arab-American mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, Abdullah Hamoud, published an op-ed in the leading newspaper, the New York Times, saying that his city's constituents are, quote, haunted by the images, videos, and stories streaming out of Gaza, and that this constituency has previously helped to create a dependable voting bloc for the Democratic Party, but now Biden's support for Israel has prompted, quote, a visceral sense of betrayal, because the mayor said the president calls for our votes once more, while at the same time selling the very bombs that Netanyahu's military is dropping on our families and friends. We can safely say after Biden's late-night show and Michigan's results, where Biden's support was dented appreciably by Democrats opting for uncommitted on their ballot paper, a lot is riding on halting the Gaza war, not only on the bloody battleground itself, but also in voting booths 6,000 miles away. A fuller and somewhat direct Biden-Trump face-off grabbed the media's attention on Thursday when both candidates visited the southern border on the same day, though well distanced from each other in separate parts of Texas. The differences between them on immigration issues may be in some ways narrowing dispiritingly, especially dispiriting for those of us firmly conditioned by the notion of America as a refuge for the world's poor and huddled masses. That narrowing between them could do with some careful analytical attention, but much of the media, in knee-jerk fashion, adhered simply to their inbuilt partisan portrayals of the opposing figureheads. I'll switch to some media praise now, with a fanfare for some good, careful media work. There's the Media Beat fanfare, which plays this week for the Marketplace team, who are celebrating a quarter century of existence this year. The radio show has carried the slogan, "The Business Program for the Rest of Us," which aptly sums up its approach. It comes under the broad umbrella of Minnesota Public Radio, but its own production base is on the West Coast, with satellite operations in New York, D.C., and Oregon, plus an ongoing partnership with the BBC in London. It produces a wide raft of programs taken up and aired by about 1,000 public stations via American Public Media Distribution, not, we should note, NPR. And all the shows, of course, have money as their theme. Most recognized, perhaps, are the half-hour evening show called simply Marketplace, and the earlier, shorter setup for the day, Marketplace Morning Report. It's the morning show that has prompted our fanfare. With Super Tuesday in mind, next Tuesday, that is, when the grand day and night of 17 presidential primaries take place, the Marketplace Morning Report, in particular regular host David Brancaccio and producer Alex Schroeder, have been visiting states who vote next week to make a special study of what have become known as news deserts. Deserts in the sense that local organs of media communication, newspapers, magazines, radio and TV stations, have been variously swept off the map by the howling gale force sandstorms of our internet age economy. They've been bought up, closed, merged, reduced to mere mouthpieces of distant conglomerates, or otherwise, in effect, disappeared. But some doughty journalists are managing to hang on despite the arid conditions, and the Marketplace team has been thoroughly portraying their valiant efforts. Take a listen via your own public station, or maybe this is ironic, via wherever you get your podcasts, like this one. Or, of course, you could simply listen online at marketplace.org. That's all from the Media Beat this week, from Robin Hood Radio, WHDD in Connecticut, or on a podcast platform. If you have been, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, David. We will talk to you next week. David can be found at themediabeat.us.